relentless training for the World Series of Life poker audio log on January 17th. I am at the Borgata in Atlantic City getting ready for their $2 million kickoff event. It's a $600 tournament buy-in, over $2 million prize pool, which means that first place will be somewhere in the vicinity of $400,000 to $500,000. I would imagine somewhere in that range. So this is a big one. This qualifies at, this would be the fulfillment of a 2018 goal. You know, win this, make it through the field of probably, you know, approaching 4,000 people. It's a big field. It's a big event. I think it's a good sign that I still get nerves before tournaments. I don't mean the kind of nerves that break you down. I don't mean the kind of nerves that cause you to play poorly. I don't mean the kind of nerves that scare you to the point where it impacts who you are and how you put yourself forth. I mean the kind of nerves you just know that what you're doing means something to you, that you're about to step onto some sort of a stage that you want to shine as bright as possible. Those kind of nerves. I always love those stories of, I love the Brian Dawkins walkouts. I love the stories that Bill Russell used to throw up before every game, and it never really stopped throughout his entire career. I think it's a good sign. You're amped. You're waking up before your alarm clock. Sure, you lose a few bits of sleep, but I think in the end, the satisfaction, the scratching of that competitive itch, it's worth it. No. So just about 9 a.m., tournament kicks off at 11 a.m., quiet time, calm time. Get ready to step onto the stage, get ready to do some big things, put your best foot forward, and hope that the magic aligns, that the few critical coin flips that you need to go in your favor do go in your favor. It's really all you can do. Best foot forward, open mind, be perceptive, learn, grow, and win. Back to you soon with an update.
First break of the tournament. We started with 25,000 chips. We stacked up to 43,675. On the strength of two hands, we flopped a nice king, queen, jack, two diamonds with ace 10, ace of diamonds. Board paired, but we held. That chipped us up early. And then late in the level, we picked up ace 6 of diamonds. We're the fourth caller into a nice sized pot, and the board came out with three diamonds. A guy actually bluff bet with no equity and then picked up a pair on the turn and two pair on the river, and on a four diamond board decided to still call me on a small bet on the river. So I think we got max value there under the circumstances. Feeling pretty good, seeing some crazy play at the table, so hopefully we can capitalize on some of that looseness. So yeah, 25,000 start, we're up to 43,675 at first break, four levels down, each level's a half hour, and I believe we play 17 levels today, so just about a quarter of the way there. 3:30 p.m., second break update. From 43,000 and change, we are up to 47,000 chips, so fairly slow levels, but at least our trend line is pointing in the right direction. No crazy hands. Our tens, our pocket tens, take out a short stack and hold against someone else's ace-king for a fairly small pot. And the only other significant situation, we pick up ace-queen, ace of spades, queen, a red queen in the small blind, and to a fairly tight early position opener and several callers, we decide to just call out of the small blind. Flop comes, so it goes five-way to the flop. And the flop comes king, jack, three, all spades. We have the ace of spades. I check the small blind. Another player checks. The original raiser in early position fires a bet. The bet is about third pot. I decide to flat. And immediately another player in the big blind raises to, a player who had limped under the gun raises to 3,600. So the bet was 1,000. I had flatted the 1,000, and this player raises to 3,600. Immediately, the original raiser jams a stack of over 20,000 chips. This puts me in an incredibly awkward situation, and I decide that there's a high likelihood of something like a set and a made flush out there already, which will put me in horrendous shape. I cry fold the ace of spades and the gut shot straight draw. Turned out to be a decent fold because the other gentleman called. He had top two, the other guy had a made flush. Sadly, yes, we would have got there. We would have scooped it all, but we would have been about 14 or 15%. So we would not have been pleased with the situation. That's the story, sticking to it. We're about halfway through the day, back in a couple hours. 5:30 p.m., third break of the tournament. We came into last break, I believe, with somewhere around 47,000 chips. Right now we have 73,300 chips, so we've chipped up yet again. Poker giveth and poker taketh, so real quick review of two impactful hands, one that took from us and one that gave to us in dramatic fashion. The one that took from us, we picked up pocket tens, and the key dynamic is this. The guy on the button was one of those I want to fight you bro guys, and a round before, literally last round of the table when he had the button, we bet ace-king, he 3-bet us on the button, min 3-bet us, and then we decided to pile on top of that and 4-bet, and he snap-folded. So this is the next orbit of the table. We pick up pocket 10s, again his button. We bet, he 3-bets us again, this time much bigger. But it had a just I want to fight you bro feel to it. It really did. He looked like he wanted to come at me after the last orbit. So anyway, there's no chance I fold pocket 10s there. We were both very deep stacked at the time, and so I make the call. The flop comes ace, ace, two, two hearts. I check, and he makes a preposterously small bet of 4,000, which is about a fifth to a sixth of the pot. I'm forced to call. The decision comes on the turn, which bricks, no heart, another rag. I check, he bets 12K, and I have a decision to make. It's pretty much at that point, that's like between a third and a quarter of my remaining stack is getting significant. I decided to make a cry fold, and he did not show anything, and I do believe he would have thrown a bluff in my face, so I am assuming he had some sort of an ace there and flopped trips. That is my assumption, but who knows? So that was the hand that took from us. The hand that gave to us, we get moved to a brand new table. We open ace queen suited to 3,500 at 800, 1,600 blinds in under the gun plus one. We get a call from the cutoff, and the button, a lady who has a short stack, jams all in, and decision is on me. I had about 46 or 47,000 chips at the time. She jammed for about 23, 24,000 chips. I don't really feel as though I have much of a decision there. She's on the button. It's a squeeze. She could have a fairly wide range of hands. I haven't been at the table long enough to really make a solid determination. Anyway, I think I really have one move, and it's a jam. I jam. I get the guy off of his hand, and we turn up. And she happened to pick up kings on the button. So it's ace-queen versus kings. We go to a flop. Flop is all rags, queen, 9, 5, 3, two diamonds. The turn is a six of diamonds, which is significant because she has a diamond in her hand. I do not, meaning I am dead to the ace of spades and the ace of hearts. Fortunately for me, the river was the ace of spades. I love that because the spade was a logo I slapped on this podcast. Starting to develop some history with the ace of spades. It came through for us this time. So we lost a big hand, we won a big hand, and we sit at 73,300. We have five levels of a half hour each left in this night. The blinds are starting to get significant, so I believe we go back to 1,000, 2,000. These will be critical levels. Let's find a way to bag some chips. 9 o'clock p.m., the aftermath. Today came down to the third to final hand of the last level of day one. One of the worst feelings in tournament poker is being dealt out of a tournament when you were just presented with no opportunities. So hand after hand after hand after hand, the annies are eating away at you, the blinds are eating away at you, And it's just a very helpless feeling. However, there was a moment almost a year ago, a little less than a year ago, I was playing in one of the Borgata main events, and I was pretty close to the money. And a very similar thing happened. I got dealt out of the tournament. I had no situations that I could really play. And I had 5.5 big blinds left. That's a very short stack for those not familiar. And I shoved on a hand I absolutely should not have shoved on. It's just, I got frustrated. And that's something that I don't do. It's something that when I evaluate myself as a player, I don't do. I feel as though one of my strongest competitive advantages is staying disciplined and staying level-headed no matter what. And ever since that moment, whenever this happens, because it will happen again, you occasionally get dealt out at critical times and you get bad hand after bad hand after bad hand, and you can make no moves. Nothing presents itself. I promised myself I would never do that again, and I haven't. And so I stayed strong, stayed strong, stayed strong. I found one opportunity to pick up a couple limpers with a king queen jam and just moved it on. And the third to final hand, I picked up ace nine. A weak player limped under the gun. Now, there are other players that would do this that I'd be much more concerned about than this guy. I thought it's dead on, either a small pocket pair or possibly a small suited ace, like an ace four suited, ace five suited, something along those lines. I figured that those were the kinds of things, possibly even something along the lines of like a jack 10 just to get involved. And it folded to me on the button, and I jammed 40K over the 5K limp. Blinds folded, and the guy said, "I have to call you with this," which he did. And he had pocket fives. A true race and no help. Queen 3-3-7-2, something along those lines. And we're out. And that's it. Third to final hand, maximum pain, last level of the night. And the unfortunate thing is, my ultimate goal was that if I got knocked out of the early tournament, I would jump into the later flight of the tournament. But I'll be honest, that tournament is over 3 hours in already. It's advanced in blinds. It's still reasonable to buy in now, but I'm just beat. And I'm going to be self-aware and I'm going to be smart about this. And I'm not going to push it because I think this thing will wrap up like 2 a.m. I think if we get in the 12, 1, 2 a.m. range with how long and grueling this last one was, with how I made it to the bitter end and played literally every minute of that tournament, almost literally every minute of that tournament. I just think it would be a stupid decision. So I am going to throw in the towel on today. That's it for this Borgata trip. We played a small amount of cash, won about $200, so that ate into the tournament fee. Tournament fee was $600. We only fired one bullet, so we're down about $400 on the trip. Fortunately, you get hotel rewards, and the nights were like $20 each, so that's not even really an expense. Poker life goes on. Decision making stays sharp. I feel good. I feel capable. And I was just talking to Marissa, and it's just trust the process, one tournament at a time. Get the right hands in the right places. We know what it feels like. We've been there before, and we will be there again. And that is a wrap on the Borgata $2 million kickoff. It won't be this one. And we'll be back here in just a few weeks for the main event.